Dear brothers and sisters, I invite you to open the scriptures in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. And we will read from verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13. Now they having departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appears in a dream to Joseph, saying, Arise, take to thee the little child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I shall tell thee. For Herod will seek the little child to destroy it. And having arisen, he took him, the little child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, seeing that he had been mocked by the Magi, was greatly enraged, and sent and slew all the boys which were in Bethlehem and in all its borders, from 2 years and under, according to the time which he had accurately inquired from the Magi. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice has been heard in Ramah, weeping, a great lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But Herod, having died, behold, an angel of the Lord appears in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take thee the little child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for they who sowed the life of the little child are dead. And he arose and took him, the little child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But having heard that Archelaus reigns over Judea instead of Herod his father, he was afraid to go there, and having been divinely instructed in a dream, he went away into the parts of Galilee and came and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that should be fulfilled, which was spoken through the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. There is no circumstances in this world that we would go through that the Lord Jesus himself hasn't met in his life as a man in this world. And we see here that the Lord Jesus was born, a baby. You know, we read in the scriptures, there was no place for him anywhere. No one opened their doors to welcome him. He was born and laid in a manger. There was no place for him. You see, can you imagine the great God, creator of all things? The one for whom and by whom everything was created, comes into the world in grace, Jesus, God's Savior, God saves. Emmanuel, God amongst men. Not only there's no place for him when he was born, but Herod, the king, wants him to be killed. And he has to be taken. Imagine the dimension of the humility, the humiliation, the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, in the body of a baby, has to be taken by hands of Joseph into exile. Taken as a refugee. He had to cross a border to safety. Why? Because a leader of this world was afraid to lose his grip, his power. And that leader would do anything, kill innocent people, to keep power. Nothing is new in this world. Nothing is new. We can find everything in the scriptures. And it's very, very touching to see this. Is it time to go? Or is it time to stay? Is it time to go? When is it time to go? When is it time to flee? Or when is it time to come back? Well, the scriptures tells us here that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and stated exactly what was God's will. In this case, he said to Joseph, "Arise, take the little child and his mother, and flee into Egypt." And on that night, it was time to act. There was no delay. They had to do exactly what God said on that night. You see? And everything has a purpose in the mind of God, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. And we see that all those events, even as sad as they can be in this world, God is not surprised by all this. It was already known by God that this would happen. It wasn't really known. We might be surprised, under shock, in such circumstances. But God speaks. He says, "Do this now. I knew it," God says. "And you will do it to fulfill my will." And we see here, "Take the little child and his mother." He took the little child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Well, it seems that the Lord, the Messiah, was supposed to be in Israel. And now the Messiah was born, and he has to be taken to Egypt. Even though God says that it was done so that the scripture would be fulfilled. So it's very good for us to have a full scope of the scriptures, because if we have only a partial knowledge of the scriptures, we might be confused sometimes to think, well, this is not what the Bible says. Or this is not what I expect from God or from the scriptures. Yes, it should be. Because if you read in another part of the Bible, you will understand why. And it's very good to see the obedience without objection from Joseph. As a father, as a head of a family, you know, he's obedient to God, to the word of God. God speaks, he acts. And he departed into Egypt. And he had to stay there, yes, until the death of Herod. And then, you know, now you have a family, you had to move abroad, across the border for a good reason, because God told you so. Not because he was in panic, it is not said. He was in panic, he decided by himself, on his own, that it was the right thing to do. No, he did it because it was clearly God's will. So he did it. Now he is in Egypt. You know, Egypt, very often the Bible represents the world. Maybe some comfort, an easier life. In a worldly manner, I mean, in a worldly fashion. And maybe after a couple of years, I think it's 4 years or so here, you may just get used to your new place. Say, well, this is good here. I might be staying here. Yes. And I started growing a child here, raising a child here, and everything is good for him here. There are so many opportunities. But then God speaks again. And God says, now it's time to go back. It's time to go back. Because, obviously, the ministry of God had to be done by the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, in Israel. That was the initial purpose of God. So sometimes we might have like what we think is a delay in our life, in the way we are going to fulfill God's service, but let's call it like an investment or like a necessary stage in our life before we can openly and publicly accomplish what God has in view for us. So now we see another occasion, another instance where Joseph is very obedient. It was maybe easier to obey the first order because it was dangerous. We have to go, let's go. But now, in Egypt, we know nothing about Egypt. The scripture doesn't recall anything about what happened there. But this is now it's time to come back. And it's not without danger, because we see he was still afraid. But he had no objection. He just did it. He was ready to obey what God told him. And so an angel of the Lord, verse 19, appears in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and saying, "Arise, take the little child and its mother, and go into the land of Israel. For they who sought the life of the little children are dead." There's a change in circumstances. Yes. And God speaks again. He says, "Now you can go. I can tell you. But you have to go." And it says, "But having heard that the son of a hero was in power now," yes, he was afraid to go there. We might be afraid sometimes to go where the Lord asks us to go. It can be your homeland, it can be any other place. God says, "Yeah, go there." He says, "Yes, Lord, but you know, I'm still afraid of this or that." And it's okay, I would say. We are creatures, we are weak creatures. We can have doubts sometimes, but we have to trust the Lord. You know, remember Ananias? You know, when the Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus, and he was going there to persecute people, to persecute the Christians, and then something happened. Yes. Something happened on the way that nobody could really see. And then the Lord spoke to Ananias, "You know, go to that man. I ask you to go there." Yes, he's praying. He says, "Yeah, Lord, you know, he's a dangerous man." But he did. It's not opposition to the word of God. You know, and it's not even like, I wouldn't even say it's an objection. It's just, we are free to express our fears before God. We can do that. There's no wrong in this. He knows. And we can express that like a prayer. It says, "Lord, I understand. If I understand well, you ask me to do that, but there's fear in me, in my heart." And so, "And having been divinely instructed in a dream, he went away into the parts of Galilee." He said, "Okay, go. But you will go to Nazareth." Yeah? Away from Judea. And this actually fulfills another prophetic scripture. You see? It's very beautiful. Everything. You know, we spoke earlier about the God who establishes boundaries and who keeps everything in order, in his own order, and everything together. That's how God works. He keeps everything together. Yes. We may be confused, we may be blind, we may be lost in our minds or in our thoughts, but if we do what the Lord says, then everything will come back together. And he will bring the child to Nazareth. And the child will be the Lord Jesus himself as a child, will be raised in Nazareth. And he will be called a Nazarene, the perfect servant of God. Despised, because Nazareth was a city that was despised by the others. Despised in the eyes of the world, but honored by God as the perfect servant of God in this world. So, it's very important, I think, on the basis of this text, to understand that we can be called by God to leave, to go to some place, for different reasons. Here is persecution. It can be war. We mentioned war earlier today. It can be other reasons. But the reason that will make us move forward is our fellowship with the Lord. Obedience to what his will is. Because we may think, oh, let's run away from here because it's dangerous. You know, there are those dangers. Physical dangers, for example. Physical dangers. And let's go to a place where we are safe. Yes. That might be a good thing to do. That might be the right thing to do. But we should never forget that there are also spiritual dangers in that new place, in Egypt, here. We can call it Egypt, you can call it UK, or you can call it Germany, or any other country, where you are free to do whatever you want. And this can be like an obstacle or a danger in your spiritual life or in the spiritual life of your children. It's very important. You know, there's a story also in the Old Testament of Naomi and her husband. They left Bethlehem because there was a shortage of food. They went into a foreign land. They were enemies of the people of God, Moab. What happened there? Yes. It was very dangerous, in a way, to move away from Bethlehem. But God, in his grace, if you read the book of Ruth, see how it works, in a way that he will bring Naomi and Ruth back to Bethlehem. There will be, of course, consequences in the life of their family. But they will, and we see how God can bring forth even great blessings from mistakes that we might have done by acting without dependence upon him. So much that there will be a child, will be the child that will be in the line of the Christ. Let's read further. In the same book, Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, we'll read verse 23. The Lord speaks and says, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee to the other. For verily I say to you, you shall not have completed the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come." And then now we'll read in Luke chapter 9. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 51. "And it came to pass, when the days of his receiving up were fulfilled, that he, the Lord Jesus, steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. And having gone, they entered into a village of the Samaritans, that they might make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was turned as going to Jerusalem. And his disciples, James and John, seeing it, said, Lord, wilt thou that we speak, that the fire come down from heaven and consume them, and also as also Elias did? But turning, he rebuked them and said, you know not of what spirit you are. And they went to another village, and it came to pass, as they went in the way, one said to him, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest, Lord. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven roosting places, but the Son of Man has nowhere he may lay his head. You see, here in Matthew 10, the Lord speaks to his disciples. Of course, he speaks here about prophetic events, the Jewish people. But we can take it as a basic principle that the Lord says, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another, to the other. So in this case, you see that it is. The Lord says that to his disciples. He says it's not wrong to flee when there is persecution. I tell you so. And we'll read later in the Acts. It also happened. And we'll read in the Acts when there was persecution and the Christians were scattered. We'll see what they did in those other cities. Yes? Here it says, when they persecute you in this city, flee to the other. Yeah. You have to go, he says, and you shall not have completed the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. This is it. But there is a limit, and God has established a limit of persecution, a limit in time. And before you have finished going around, yes, God will put a stop to your persecution. But when it comes to himself, you know, the Lord Jesus came into this world in order to not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He knew from the beginning why he was in this world. He knew that he would never escape persecution and crucifixion. Because it was the will of God. I came into this world, oh Father, to do your will, to fulfill your will. Yeah? And he didn't divert from his path that brought him to the cross. He was there as a perfect servant, submitted completely to the will of God, knowing exactly much more than we might do. Yes. Knowing exactly all the sufferings he would have to go through. He was God. He knew everything in advance. And what happened there? We read, it came to pass when the days of his receiving up were fulfilled, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He wasn't going the other way. He was many times in many places in the Gospels, we see how the enemy, Satan himself, tried to stop him on his way by frightening him. But as a perfect man, he was never frightened. He kept going, step after step, in the path that was determined for him, all the way to the cross. Steadfastly, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And we see in this text that he wasn't received in a village of the Samaritans. He was full of grace, because some of his disciples says, "Well, they didn't receive you. It's outrageous. We should punish them. Yeah, they should burn. We should ask the fire from heaven to fall upon their heads." That's not what was in the heart of the Lord Jesus. Even though he was rejected, and he was persecuted, or during his life as a perfect servant, and he was going to be put to death and crucified soon. But his heart was full of grace for those men. He would not punish them, destroy them. We read that even Herod wanted to destroy him. That's the word we read in the beginning. Herod, the king, wanted to destroy him. But the Lord Jesus would never destroy anyone, because he has so much grace in his heart. And he says, "You don't know what you're saying, and the kind of mindset you have now." And they went to another village. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, one said to him, "I will follow you, I will follow thee, wheresoever thou goest." Lord. Sometimes we say so, or maybe we don't say so, but we sing. It's very easy to sing spiritual songs with such thoughts. But do we really mean it? We call him Lord. Yes? What does that mean? This is just his name? It's a title. It means he has authority. Yes? I have to tell him from my heart, Lord. I mean, the one who rules over my life, over my heart. And here it says, "I will follow you wherever you go." He was going to the cross. That was not possible in this instance to follow him. You know, when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he said he entered the garden with 11 of his disciples. Then he led some of them there. Others went a bit further in. But then he had to go all the way on his own, by himself. When it was the question of atonement, when he was praying, supplicating the Father, if it would be possible. But it was not possible. And nobody could follow him all the way to that bottom of the Garden of Gethsemane, but also nobody could follow him to the cross. He was unique, you see. But here, and I hope we have that desire in our hearts, that we would be ready, and also to tell the Lord, "Lord, I would say, make me ready to follow you. Not I will follow you." You know, that may be impossible, because that would be counting on our own strength. And we know it doesn't work. But make me by grace and by the Holy Spirit. Make me follow you wherever you want me to go. And the answer, what he said, the answer is beautiful from the Lord. He says, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the heaven roosting places, but the Son of Man has nowhere he may lay his head." So if we want to be the Lord Jesus' followers, we have to understand that. We have to understand that. And if we follow him in exile, like we saw here, it is not to get some resting place in this world. It is to be useful for him there, wherever it might be, and for any reason that may brought you out of your original place. It is to be useful for him there, and not just to make your life comfortable and a worldly life. Let's read further in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 1. And Saul was consenting to Stephen's being killed. And on that day there arose a great persecution against the assembly which was in Jerusalem. And all were scattered into the countries of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Except the apostles. And pious men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul ravaged the assembly, entering into houses one after another, and dragging off both men and women, delivered them to prison. Saul. We see how much hatred and violence he's been using here. First, he was just consenting to the death of a witness of the Lord Jesus, someone who proclaimed the grace of Christ. He was stoned to death. And normally, this should be a horrific scene. But it was pleasing to some people. And he said here, he was consenting to killing someone. He did nothing wrong except speaking about the grace of God. And we can see here how bad is a human heart. How bad it is. We already read something about Hero there. He was a leader, a king. But here, even a soul, say like a young man, in his heart, and it's also in our own hearts. Our natural heart is like that. The natural heart of men is ready to use violence and can be pleased with violence. And we see that on that day arose a great persecution against the assembly in Jerusalem. A great persecution against the assembly. Those who are redeemed, who belong to the Lord Jesus. What happened? And all were scattered. See? They fled different directions, different cities, different regions, overseas, different lands, into the countries of Judea and Samaria. They will go further later, but here it said the countries of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They didn't leave. They stayed. They had that responsibility to keep teaching from Jerusalem. And it was dangerous, was it? Yes, it was. But they were safe. At that time, they will suffer martyrdom too later. You know, the Lord Jesus said so to Peter, who said, "I will go to death until death with you or for you." He says, "Yeah, Peter, we have that maybe in your heart sometimes, just Peter, or yes, I've prayed for you. Yeah, I've prayed for you, and so many times I have." Hidden or refused to admit that I was a disciple of the Lord, yes, when I should have. And then I need restoration in my heart, just like Peter had in his conversation with the Lord when he met him after resurrection. And then the Lord told him, you know, now at this moment in your life you can go around and go wherever you want, but the time will come when you will be brought to a place where you don't want to go.
I was speaking about the way he would die honoring the Lord. You see? So Saul ravaged the assembly. How did he do that? Entering houses. Not only at a meeting hour in this room, for example. He was getting people from their houses. Because the assembly is not... What we are having now is an assembly meeting. It's not the assembly. It's an assembly meeting. It's an activity. One of the activities of the assembly. The assembly is made of all believers in a place, locally. So when you're at home, sitting at home, you're still part of the assembly. Yes. And he was entering houses where there were believers to drag them off. One after another. Both men and women. Yes. To put them into prison. Acts 19. We read about Saul of Tarsus. Now we're going to read about the Apostle Paul. The same person, but he's different. Something was changed. Yes. He was persecutor. He became persecuted. And in the first days of it after his conversion, he had to run away from Damascus by night, because the Jews in the city wanted to kill him, and he had to be brought down in a basket down the wall by night to run away. See, he was a refugee too, we could say. He was someone who had to flee, to run for his life. From the very first days he was converted. He knew very well the dangers, because he was a persecutor. And we read in Acts chapter 19, verse 21. And when these things were fulfilled, Paul purposed in his spirit to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia, saying, after I have been there, I must see Rome also. And having sent into Macedonia two of those ministering to him, Timotheus and Erastus, he remained himself a while in Asia. And there took place at that time no small disturbance about the way. And then this happens in Ephesus, at Ephesus, the city of Ephesus. And there was a great danger there. They were almost killed, those disciples, you know, by the crowd. Because when they saw that the profit they took from idolatry in that city was gone, or was going, or was going, they wanted to kill the disciples. And the Apostle Paul had to leave the city. But what is said here is that he purposed in his spirit to go to Jerusalem. That was a dangerous place to be at that time. But he was ready to go there to serve the Lord. Yes. In chapter 20, Acts 20, verse 22. And now, behold, bound in my spirit, I go to Jerusalem, not knowing what things shall happen to me in it. Only that the Holy Spirit testifies to me
in every city, saying that bonds and tribulations await me. But I make no account of my life as dear to myself, so that I finish my course and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the glad tidings of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. So he's ready, we could say, to go where it is dangerous. Because he says that he needs to go to Jerusalem and to Rome. He's ready to serve the Lord until death, if it's necessary. He doesn't know exactly what's ahead of him, except that he says that the Lord has told him that there will be tribulations and bonds. He will lose his freedom. He knows that. Bonds. He'll be chained. And he will be, if we read the rest of the book of Acts, he will be, and he will go to Rome in chains, and he will be in prison in Rome. That's, he didn't run away, he didn't hide in a city. You know, the Apostle Paul visited many places, many cities. And sometimes we know when we visit places, we could say, oh, I could see myself living a peaceful life here. Maybe I would like to come back here, you know, and for the rest of my days. And that's not what he had in mind. Apostle Paul said, no, I need to go on to finish the job, to finish the work, the service that the Lord has given me. Let it be in chains if the Lord wants it. And that's what he proposed to himself. He didn't tell any other that they should do that. That's a personal exercise. That's a personal conviction. That's a personal fellowship or conclusion in our fellowship with the Lord and with God. I cannot tell anyone else, you should do that or go there. It's dangerous, but you have some job to do there. That's not mine to say so. Yes. But even though we see in chapter 21, let's read it. Chapter 21, verse 4. We see there that, and having found out the disciples, we remained there 7 days. So the disciples who said to Paul by the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. That's a bit confusing, isn't it? Not to go up to Jerusalem, but we, when we had completing the days, we set out and took our journey, all of them accompanying us with wives and children, till we were out of the city. And kneeling down upon the shore, we prayed. And having embraced one another, we went on board ship, and they returned home. It's very touching, isn't it? And here it is written that the brothers there, in that place, yeah, they said to Paul by the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. But nevertheless, he decided to go. And it's very touching to see how they departed one from another. You see, he said, kneeling down upon the shore, we prayed. We prayed together. They prayed together. So this was a piece of advice from brothers by the Spirit. Don't go there. But
They cannot impose a piece of advice, even though it comes from God. We cannot impose to anyone to go or not to go somewhere. But we can pray together. And the Apostle Paul decided to go there. And maybe sometimes we are not exactly in the mind, in the perfect mind of God when we make a decision for Him. But it will be used by God and by the Lord. He went to Jerusalem. He went through some trouble, tribulation, but God continued using him and fulfilling what he had reserved for him in chains. And he went to Rome. And from Rome, from the prison, he wrote many, many epistles and letters that are still useful today for us. So that choice to go to Jerusalem was eventually blessed. Yeah? Forever. And for us today. We will never know what would have happened if you didn't go at that time to Jerusalem. We don't need to know. What's important here is that we may give a piece of advice to a brother or a sister, being truly dependent on the Lord, not just expressing our own point of view. That brother or sister may accept that piece of advice or do differently. And we are not going to judge them and tell them, well, if you don't do what I just said, then just go. No, there's still brotherly love and fellowship between them. And we see they pray together on the shore. You see? And they embrace one another. They embrace one another. And they returned home. Now the Apostle Paul is gone. They will see him no more. But then those who go home, now they have the responsibility to live for the Lord on their side without the help of the Apostle Paul. And it's very precious and useful to have brothers and sisters very close to the Lord that would help us in local assemblies. But we follow the Lord, not the brethren, not brothers or sisters. We follow the Lord. We don't follow one another. And it's very beautiful and when we can follow the Lord together. You see, I'd like to read the last passage in the portion. In the second epistle to Timothy. Chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. The Apostle Paul wrote this epistle. And then we'll read verse 10. He says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present age, and he's gone to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Just that part. Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present age, and he's gone to Thessalonica. Thessalonica, if you read other parts of the scriptures, you see Thessalonica was a city where Christians were persecuted. Read the epistle to the Thessalonians. And see, they went through great persecution because of their faith and the witness, the testimony they gave there. Yes, and the Apostle Paul had to run away from Thessalonica to Berea at that time. Because they wanted to stone him. Yes, and we read in the letters to the Thessalonians that it was dangerous to be, it was not welcome or dangerous to be a Christian in Thessalonica. But you see, Demas, being a Christian, because he's called a fellow worker in the epistle to Philemon, a fellow worker of the Apostle Paul at some point in his life. Well, later in his life, he stopped living or working or serving the Lord. And what does he do? He moves. He goes to another place. Where? Thessalonica. Why? Because he loved the present age. I find it very concerning. How can you, or how can I, as a true believer, decide to go and live where Christians are persecuted to have a better life? Because I love it. I love that place. It brings me so many things for this present life. For sure, there were many Christians in that city that were going through sufferings. So, Demas, as a servant of the Lord, fellow worker of the apostle, could have gone to Thessalonica to suffer with them, to help them, to encourage them. No, he went there to have nothing to do with them. You see? And this is also something that can be in my heart. Working for the Lord is too hard, or so much opposition, or persecution, or I'd like just to find a resting place for the rest of my days, you know, and wherever it may be. But this is not what the Apostle Paul did in his life, or any other faithful servant of the Lord. So, there are many other examples in the Bible. You know, Jonah, for example. Yeah, he was given a mission. He was given a mission by God in the Old Testament. And what did he do? He ran away. The opposite direction. He was supposed to go to the city of Nineveh, and he took a ship going to Spain. And you see? And he was sleeping on the ship. But eventually, God showed him that it's important to do what is expected from him. You know, and we have the book of Jonah, where we see that he was angry, irritated about the grace of God to others. What is very beautiful is that he wrote the book. So it tells me that he repented later in his life, and he was ready to admit he was wrong. He was restored. You see? But yeah, so as a conclusion, I would just say, we are in this world. We were born somewhere. We might stay there our whole life, possibly, if the Lord wants us to be useful and for Him there. But let it be so. But in some circumstances, we might be led to run from war, from persecution, for different reasons. We might be led by the Lord to go. But we also might be led to come back to our original place. I'm saying this because, for example, we mentioned Ukraine earlier today. So many, many true believers left the country, which is understandable. Yes. But maybe it may also be a pity for the country. Yes. Because some of them decided to stay there And they said, no, we are better here because it's dangerous, but we have some gospel outreach to do. We have some work to do for the Lord, and we have to maintain and keep things going on a spiritual level. And we cannot judge one or the other, but we are ready to help both. But if we should all be ready to serve the Lord, if we stay home or if we move abroad for any reason, the purpose of our life is to be serving the Lord where we are. We haven't read it, but it is said that those who were scattered in the Acts because of the persecutions, they spread the gospel on the way to all the regions around. They didn't just go there and start a new life with the desire to do nothing more for the Lord because it's too much trouble. No, they just spread the gospel around, you see. And it might be true that sometimes there's a time to go and there's a time to come back.